homesick. Homesickness in human relationships. We talked about Blue Christmas a while ago and the homesickness that people feel in their human relationships through death, divorce, or disagreements and distance. But if homesickness is a reality in our human relationships, then it's even more so in our relationship with God. Each of us is seeking our true home. Again, whether we realize it or not, we're seeking to come home to God, seeking to come home to His love. We have this desire to fill this emptiness within us, which we try to satisfy with substitutes, with material things, with fame and fortune and money and material things. And some even try it with drugs and alcohol and pornography and many other things to try to feed this hunger that's within us. But nothing will fulfill that hunger except God. There is only one way. There is only one way to the love of God that we seek. There's only one way to God's love, to God's hope, to God's mercy, and to God's peace. And that is by following that well-worn path to that little town called Bethlehem and the manger that awaits there. We find Jesus there. That is the way to God's love. For Jesus is God's love, the Word that became flesh, incarnate Word of God. But what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus, this love of God, the epitome of God's love, the essence of God's love? Well, if we read the Gospels, we see Jesus grow up as a child, a young boy, in the home of Mary and Joseph. We read the stories of teachings, his parables, and his prayers that he prayed often with his disciples and off alone to himself. We read in the Gospels his call to discipleship, where he calls his followers to follow me, to emulate what he does, to put their faith into practice. We see him suffer and die at the cross, God's payment for our sin debt. And then we are raised to new life in His glorious resurrection. You see, when we come to know Jesus, when we come to know the Lord Jesus, we find He is the essence of God's love that we seek. In Jesus, we find the way, the truth, and the life that God promises us. When we come home to love, we come home to Christ. But how do we experience God's love? How do we experience that love that's born at Bethlehem? Well, I don't know about you, but at Christmas time, there's a lot of glorious things that happen. Great concerts and pageants and celebrations and parties and TV programs and movies. And I don't know what you do at Christmas or how you enjoy Christmas, but you know, I think of places like Sight and Sound and other places that put on these glorious pageants and glorious recreations of the Christmas story and whatnot. And they're all wonderful. And they can bring us closer to God through that story. And the story is told in many different ways. But if we take a closer look at the Christmas story, as we take a closer look at the Nativity, what do we find? What do we find there in Bethlehem? Bethlehem, a backwater town of no particular significance, an obscure little village tucked away somewhere a few miles from Jerusalem. An ordinary little hometown. We find Jesus born of ordinary Jewish parents. Joseph, a carpenter. Mary, a typical young Jewish girl. of no particular significance. We find they are returning home to Bethlehem. Joseph is to be counted in the regular census, if you will, to be counted for taxation purposes, much like the census that we have today, to be counted, part of the ordinary rhythm of life. We find at the Nativity a cave. Yes, scholars believe that Jesus was born in a cave, perhaps carved out the side of a hill where they kept the animals, not a manger or creche or barn like we think of and we see in the plays and the movies and so forth, but a cave where the animals were kept, or an ordinary place where livestock was kept bedded down for the night. And who was there? Who was there? Ordinary, unimportant shepherds. The lowest, the most menial task that anyone could do in that day, tending sheep, were there. No, the kings were not there at Jesus' birth. They showed up a couple of years later. And Jesus was born of a woman. As many, if not all, of you women here today have given childbirth with the pain and the agony of child labor. Ordinary things. Our study this week pointed out a painting by a Dutch master, Bruegel. Here we have a scene of, it's called The Numbering at Bethlehem. It's an ordinary scene, get out of the way here, of people going about their daily business. And this is a Dutch rendition, a Flemish rendition of an ordinary life. But down at the bottom, in the middle, in the yellow circle, we find Mary and Joseph, a pregnant Mary and Joseph, riding into town on a donkey. And the only thing that really tells us that this is a Christmas scene is that there's a wreath over the door, which looks like perhaps an inn or a hotel or a place to rest. People going about their business in everyday life. Nothing spectacular, nothing out of the ordinary. So, what does all that mean for us today? What is God saying to us? I believe it's God is saying that His love did not come to us in the spectacular, in the gaudy, in the loud, but in the ordinary way, in the ordinary rhythms of life. God's love is demonstrated in the quiet, ordinary lives of ordinary people who see, who feel, who hear, and know the presence of Jesus in the ordinary places of their lives. I think of that song. I keep going back to the reminders. Billy Graham and Mother Teresa. After that, the list is pretty thin. If you want to do the works of Jesus, you got to get in the ring with Him. Ordinary people doing the works of Jesus. I'm reminded of that monk who lived in the monastery many, many years ago called Brother Lawrence. There's a little book called Practicing the Presence of God. And in it, Brother Lawrence writes about how he experienced God's love in the ordinary things of the daily life of a monk, be it peeling potatoes or washing pots and pans. He practiced the presence of God's love. And then I think of ordinary people right here in our community doing the works of Jesus, sharing the love of God, the love of Jesus. That lady that works back there serving coffee for you. Ordinary servant, ordinary person. I think of Dale Dunning with her soup ministry, serving something as simple and ordinary as soup to many hungry people. And the list goes on and on and on. Humble servants who share the love of God in ordinary ways. The message today is that by following Jesus, we find our way home. By following Jesus, we find our way to God's love. And this Christmas, this Christmas, I invite you to seek the extraordinary love of God that we all long for by seeking the presence of Jesus in ordinary people, in ordinary places, and in the ordinary circumstances of our lives. And in so doing, we will find our true home in the love of God that came to us that first Christmas over 2,000 years ago. Come home to Christmas this year. Come home to God's love. Let us pray. God of love, you are love. You are the source of love. And we thank you, Lord, for your love that you gave to us in Jesus. Dear God, as we approach this Christmas season, as we count the weeks by lighting candles and doing daily devotions, help us to experience your love in the ordinary ways, through ordinary people and with ordinary servants of God. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to hear your word and message to us today. And let us now ponder these things in our hearts as we go forth from this place sharing your great love with one another. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.